and we're down on our knees, picking up the scraps. Whatever it takes, we're gonna build it back. If you don't speak out, we can't hear it. Harlem's always here. Hear his spirit. And all those who came before, hear his spirit.
Don't you know me? Thing wiggles too much.
I'd like to introduce the members of the group to you. Thank you. Okay, we have sort of a rock and roll song for you now.
All right, now we have a song for lovers only. Pay close attention to this. This is selection number 2 on side 1 of the album. We hope that you'll enjoy it. Oh, and another thing, I did the Mike Douglas show yesterday and got a chance, and it's going to be on.
Thank you. How's the sound balance out there? Is it?
Is a burning thing, and it makes a fiery ring, bound by wild desire. I fell into a ring of fire. I fell into a burning ring of fire. I went down, 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 and the flames went higher. And it burns, 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 the ring of fire, the ring of fire.
Want to keep singing, Carol? Okay. Are you muted? She hopes she was muted. She was actually singing. Okay, everybody's unmuted.
Well, I was.
Would you like to
humming
have
along myself?
Right. Would you? Is there a song that you recall that I played that you would like to sing along with? Might have in the last couple of days, last couple of weeks. Oop, I've got the audio. What, I got that echo, right? Bring that down. Okay, so anything that comes to mind that you heard?
Sarah enjoyed the interview.
Sunday.
Well, more people. We have to have more people talking at the same time.
Bob, can you hear me?
I can hear you, Michael.
You can.
Enjoyed the interview.
Okay.
I assume that's the John Corcelli.
I enjoyed the interview that you did about Frank Zappa with the author. I can't remember his name, but it was posted on.
John Corcelli.
On EdSite. Yes,
John
correct.
John Corcelli, who I knew at CKLN 30 years ago. Like James wrote an email. He'd listened to the first 20 minutes, and he emailed me, "This is tremendous. This is fantastic." So did you have the same feeling, Mike?
I had the same feeling, and I was chuckling at how you said, "My friend told me."
Yeah.
That Frank,
that's right.
My friend.
What did I say? Do you remember what I actually said in that instance?
No, because you were talking about how Ian has told you that Frank Zappa is going to be regarded as the, you know, the decade, so you said, no, my friend told me this. And
you know
so
who
you
that was?
Going
that
to
was
talk.
The Evergreens. That was the Evergreens.
But what? It wasn't Ian. I thought you were talking about Ian.
Oh, Ian will say Zappa will never be remembered. And Ian is working damn hard to make sure he's not remembered. No, it was the Evergreens many, many years ago. Many years ago. That's
yes.
Pretty good. You know, that's who I used to talk to Zappa through was the Evergreens. But the as a result of this, there's a guy, Gary somebody, if you're on my Facebook page, Gary Johnson, some name like that. He's been posting a lot. I didn't know him, but a few months ago I found out that he knew me. He used to listen to me in the 80s in Toronto. So he posted the interview over on a new Zappa fan-based thing called United Mutations, which I didn't know about. And they have fantastic pictures over there. That's on Facebook. Something called United Mutations, the original fan club that Zappa had going in 66, United Mutations. So this guy put it into the Zappa world right away. He said, I have not listened to this, but I guarantee you I have listened to Bob talk about Frank Zappa for years, and he always has new insights, so I bet you this will be worth it. So he posted it without any having not listened himself. But that was good because James liked it. You liked it. Maybe a few others now. But I wanted to say what I did. If you guys noticed in the archives, the first hour of the last Saturday show is kaput. I heard every song when we were playing it on Saturday afternoon, but Bill knew that the sound card had broken or something. So it's like half an hour of nothing. So all those songs I played that I was hearing, I want to play when they're recorded. So the first three songs I played, maybe Michael said he liked one of them. So it did get through later. But there was a whole bunch of songs that I played at the beginning of the show that are not on the recording. It's all screwed up.
Mm.
So he got it fixed so that by the time Ian came forth, the sound was good. But if you notice that in the archive. So that's why I was playing that stuff. Then I thought, well, let's just play some Frank Zappa introductory moods of all the stuff I've played the last 6 weeks or whatever of Zappa unknown concerts. So that's how they all started. And then we played Johnny Cash.
Bob?
So here we are. Yes, go ahead.
Yeah, while you're discussing issues, I want to clear up one issue. I've had some people complaining about not being able to log into the chat room. The chat room wasn't working. It was asking them for a password. And I've got that fixed.
Yeah,
so if they
that's
just,
still happening.
If they just reload their browser, it should work fine now. Got that problem solved.
Yeah, Bill, I try to listen, you know, on the management thing or something where I can listen to songs and review them once I put them in, you know. What's that called? Management. No. It's right beside, you know, where you should do your settings. I couldn't get in half an hour ago, Bill, so maybe that's fixed for me, too?
Well, that's a whole different issue. It was working earlier. I'll check it out, Bob.
Yeah. It required my ID in that, and I put that in, and it still wouldn't let me in. So that's just, it doesn't matter about that. I was just trying to check which songs I wanted to play, but I couldn't get in there. But you're talking about something else, and that should be fixed.
Yeah, this was on the regular public website. The chat room was asking for a username and password, which it shouldn't, of course.
Great.
So, but that's fixed for everybody. Just refresh the page, and it should work.
Okay, so what else has been happening? So Carolyn talked about this on yesterday's show, this tremendous discovery by Michael in South Africa of what the Rekalsia can do. He found that his pipes, which are 100 years old and have calcification, mineral calcification in them, through the Rekalsia and his urine, the pipes were eroding. The calcification was disappearing. And that's a pretty amazing, powerful testimonial to our products. And then we had to talk to Ion the other day about, well, once we found this out, maybe it was yesterday, we talked to Ion about how can you take Rekalcia to get calcium and the cellular level added to you, and yet it's going to remove it. And create no clogging in yourself of any calcification. How's it do both things? Well, I explained it, and it was difficult to get. But what was interesting is when I listened to it again, the fact that we have RE in front of everything, Renew, Remag, Rekalcia.
Mm.
Who's saying that? Michael? Is that Michael sleeping
I'm
or
saying
moaning?
That. Yeah. No. I'm the read.
Yeah, so,
mm.
Right. HMM, Herbert Marshall McLuhan. So,
yes.
Yeah, so what I thought as I listened to what he was saying that the Rekalcia chain, the Rekalcia is, yes, cellular, but it's different. And it does something in the body that's different. So it changes. So I thought, well, that's the exact principle of McLuhan's tetrad, where an old environment that's been long obsolete, but then a new environment comes along, and this old obsolescent environment resonates with the new, so it's retrieved and comes back with an archetypal intensity. And I like to use the example of what is the automobile a retrieval of? It's a retrieval of the knight in shining armor. So you have this knight in shining armor, which doesn't look like a car, but a car creates that sensibility. When you have your own car, you're like a knight going around with this big armor around you. So when something's retrieved in the meaty dynamics, it's not exactly the same as what it was, but it fits into the new environment well. So some things are retrieved and others aren't. So I realized that there's this retrieval thing happening in our products. It includes something that isn't part of the input and then causes a change. So that makes our Remag, our Renew, our Rekalcia, Remite, and all that extra potent. So the re actually fits in McLuhan terms. I told this to Carolyn a few hours ago, and she liked that idea. But we'll run it by Ion, but it's an interesting adaptation of the altering of consciousness or of matter. There's a retrieval aspect in it. So that was my amazing. Yeah, in general, we're retrieving her God state. Yeah, go ahead.
Bob, I redid the test because What I was doing is I was giving myself a tonic in the evenings and the mornings, which is an iced tea with all the Rekalcia, Remite, and Remag, and I give it a good dose in my tea before I go to sleep. So I stopped doing that for about 4 days, and the pipes stopped seeping. And then last
what?
Night,
wait,
what I did
a word
is like
there. We missed a word, Michael. Stop what?
Yeah, the pipe stopped seeping.
Oh!
Once I stopped doing it and stopped urinating in the toilet. So
right.
Last night, what I did was I gave myself a really good dose of magnesium, Remite, and Rekalcia, and then obviously had a good pee before I went to bed. And I woke up in the night again with completely leaking pipes. So I've proven to myself that it is definitely the formulas that are causing the calcification in the joints of the pipes to dissolve. And
it's
it works.
Amazing.
I mean, if it's just my urine doing it, in the amount of water. You know, the ratio between urine and water is hugely large. So for it to still have an effect on the pipes regardless, then I can see what that is that must just be ripping through my body. If it's the concentration I'm putting in my own body is far greater than the concentration that is in that water.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I know that my pipes are being cleaned.
It's an amazing discovery. It's one of the best testimonials of our environment ever. And you think that all these people, they take calcium. I thought you take calcium to balance off your magnesium, and you're supposed to get whatever calcium's doing. But the extra fact is all these people who are 90 years old or 70 and have all this calcification, that will be removed. Eternity's on your doorstep, man, when you have that. Because isn't that a big problem, Carol? People's veins and aging is calcification. So we actually found something that stops aging. Holy shit. That's incredible. We didn't. Ion did. But I brought Ion here, right? I get a bit of credit. And Carolyn is a good
Yeah, you did it, Bob.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah.
You did
I did it,
Bob.
I solved the aging dilemma by just talking in my sleep. Dr. Beter came. Dr. Beter said hi to me. Oh, I wonder if the Evergreens are gathering around you, JW. And that was the genius insight. Oh, let's find out if the Evergreens are there. And it turns out to be a huge monster that people still today, longtime users, did not realize what this powerful ion is as a phenomenon. And when he describes, you have to see our products are more than what they say they are. Hope that doesn't frighten people, but there's extra things going on in them. Because he says the recalci alters your chemistry to create other things to happen.
Well, it's changing the environment.
Are you off mute?
Yeah, no.
Okay, what?
It's changing the environment. And that's what Michael proved, that the external environment is being changed by that little bit of urine. So just think of the hundreds of thousands of people taking our products. They're changing the environment. That's obvious.
Carolyn, Carolyn, you sound like you're on mute.
Yeah, she is. She was on mute because she can't touch her phone, and so she's got stuff on her hands. So she came over to my phone and talked sort of close.
Right. We can hear. We can hear, though.
Right. Now, we met some Ionauts on Sunday. I didn't know this guy. I didn't know anything about him. I don't remember talking to him, but he and his wife came, and she knew nothing about Ion. She'd never listened to the stuff. He found Ion through Project Camelot, which a lot of people in 2008 did, and he was, basically saying, oh, these people are interesting, and they're not doom and gloom. So that was the initial appeal for this guy, and he was a designer for Condé Nast magazines. So what happened, though, he said he has a 16-year-old son who wants to be a radio person and has bought a microphone and this and that, so he wondered if his son could be a contributor on our show. I don't know if that's why he met us. I don't know or that may just came up as an idea. So I'll see what the son says, talk to him. Maybe we'll have a kid, 16-year-old, talking about what they perceive, in their world, an actual youth or fake youth, that might happen. So that's what came out of that meeting.
How old?
And, so.
How old is this kid?
16.
Oh,
and is into all the gadgetry and everything, and wants to be a DJ. Bought a microphone, so yeah, he has to start practicing. Realize that no one's listening, and he can do whatever he wants to do, rather than having the normal peer group pressure memes around him, thinking, "Oh, everybody's listening. I screwed up." Yeah, well, we'll loosen him up, and then we'll see what happens. Okay, so has anybody got anything to talk about? Chad, Eliza, Ginny, Greg, somebody in Newark, and Michael has his own thing now. You're identified, Michael. Did you come in on Skype, or is that a phone? Skype.
No, I got a Skype ID, Bob.
Oh, okay.
That should show where I'm coming.
Right, and then we got Anonymous.
Bob.
Yes, that's Sean. Yes.
Yeah, there's some good stuff about Trump's tweets going funny. I don't know if you saw that he tweeted the wrong Ivanka.
I saw that. How did that work? His message went to the wrong person? Like, I didn't get what was the loop there.
I think when he brings her name up, that woman's name just starts with the same
Yeah.
With Ivanka, so he just pressed the wrong Ivanka.
Right. Was he tweeting his daughter? He thought he was tweeting his daughter to compliment her on her CNN interview? Is that what he thought he was doing?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So sending a message to her, and it went to someone near you in England.
Yeah. Her response
okay, so what's the big what's the big problem? Okay, this girl got a tweet from him. You know, what is there a huge embarrassment there?
No, it was just the way the woman responded with, you should be more responsible, basically, you know.
Yeah.
And I thought, yeah.
Yeah. You know, Iron says that Trump is like me. Well, maybe Trump is like me. He's a Luddite. He screws up. What is this, Soundflower? We have to go to sound. Oh, shit, not working. He's probably screws up with his technology all the time. And he'll be making mistakes. Well, that'll be good. Make him human, because he's not human. So he needs to look good. But she was a lefty, and she complained. But it's not a big blooper, is it? So it went to someone else. National Security. I mean, yeah, what does he do about National Security? Is he allowed to tweet without... being checked by security services? I don't know. Anyways,
he doesn't trust
great
him.
That he's doing it. Yeah, this is the first. This is Mae Brussel. You ever get this, Chad? This is Mae Brussel in the White House. This is LaRouche in the White House. He doesn't trust anybody. He's not even going to go to the White House. I mean, that's hyper-aware, paranoid. Skolnick said if he was ever... asked to be interviewed in NBC studios in New York City, he would go into the studio in a tank. So this is what Trump is. It's pretty amazing to have such a paranoid president. Doesn't trust anybody. He got there by himself. He has no support. He has to negotiate with every department. And then there was this head guy, head CIA, somebody guy, he was interviewing on Sunday, so he was complaining, Brennan maybe his name is, and Trump made fun of the agencies, and this guy said, this is very disrespectful. So they show a picture of him on Trump, on Drudge, and he's got a frown on, and his eyebrows are, what do you call that part above the nose, Carolyn? It's all wrinkled. Yeah, what do you call that part above the nose? Soundflower? What is it?
Brow.
Anyway, it's the thing that wrinkles up. The brow, right, the brow. And he's there all looking frustrated and tough with his pursed lips. And it's so corny because he thinks that's the way you have to be when you're bad. You know what I mean? And they show this picture of this idiot with his pursed lips and frown frown land, as Beefheart would call it. Anyways, they're such idiots. It's so sad, as Trump has made popular. It's so bad. It's so sad. Dishonest media, fakers everywhere. I wonder how much he's going to change once he's president. I had said he might, maybe you guys heard it, he said recently that he would act a little more subdued for a while. At some point, he'd be more polite, but what a great guy. Even if he's a murderer and Roy Cohn was his mentor and all that, he's got a nice personality. That's what this guy that visits us on Sunday, he said, I'm glad Trump's in because it's going to be entertaining. You know, we don't have some dull idiot trying to be proper. Okay, so I imagine I have some stuff to play, but what does anybody, is Jermaine here? Jermaine usually has some issue down there in Los Angeles. I don't see anything. So come on, people, say something. What's a pattern you noticed? And not Michael. We know Michael well. The rest of you are just waiting back for Michael to fucking fill in the airtime. Anyway, what do you say, Elijah?
I've noticed the use of this term deep state has been coming up a lot in the last 2 weeks. Have you heard that, Bob?
I saw William Irwin Thompson. I should actually read his stupid thing. Thompson says, I'm very interested in watching how the deep state responds to Trump. You know, basically whether he'll get assassinated or not. Yes, I know about the term. Yeah.
Yeah, I heard it like just murmurings of it like a week ago, and now this week I'm seeing articles come out. Like Glenn Greenwald just did an article on it, and Alex Jones just put out an article about how Roger Stone supposedly had an assassination attempt on him. He's a longtime supporter of Trump.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, and also a total asshole in Mae Brussels perspective for Nixon. He did the Nixon dirty tricks, probably Chappaquiddicked Ted Kennedy. So he's not a nice guy, but he's not an insider anymore.
Right.
Yeah, go ahead. Yeah, so what are they saying? Deep State's rearing his head, ready to get us?
Yeah, like Greenwald's article, the deep state goes to war with president-elect using unverified claims as Democrats cheer. So whoever this deep state is, I don't know.
Deep throat.
I get a sense it's like that, you know, saying they. You know, they say they are doing this and they are doing that.
Yeah, the they. So
superlative,
isn't this incredible? You've got journalists saying, yeah, we know there's a big brother. We know there's secret societies. We know there's these assholes. And they probably will successfully kill him. Like, who's going to run for president under those conditions? You know, where you're most likely if you do anything unique, you'll be shot. So everybody had just assumed. So everybody is obsolete in normal social values. They're just sitting on the sidelines watching the horror.
And right, but now the media are talking. They're talking openly about this deep state, and they have never mentioned it until now. And they're throwing it around like it's a household name.
Yeah, yeah. Well, we all know Mae Brussels, Dobbs, and Church Subgenius, and Reverend Stang, and LaRouche were right. And Skolnick were right, even though we never admitted it. And now we have to admit that the Fourth Reich is among us and could kill any one of you at the drop of a pin.
Exactly. Yeah, we've run out of options, and now we have to cannibalize ourselves by exposing our little swamp here to the public.
Yeah, we got no more content. We can't get you interested, so we'll start turning into what always only worked. Mae Brussels, we'll give you the top-down stuff now. We're all, you know, in trouble here, waiting to see who gets shot, because we can't stop the deep state.
Yeah. No, I see it as like a threat. I see it as total bullshit campaign about the deep state. It doesn't exist anymore, and they're just using it as a scare tactic, as a weapon.
More after images. The Android meme's been running on after images for about 15 years now, you know? Now, what was that thought? I don't know. I have to wait till we come back around. So say something else, Chad. But I had a thought about that.
So I'm just curious what they're going to use after the deep state fails. If they're going to say,
I remember.
The Black Pope.
Yeah, here's what I asked Ian. Yeah, the Black Pope, right. That was Nelson Thal's bet noir. But so I asked Ian a month or two ago, I said, does Trump have... security, you got these really good, got the best security. Do they have technologies where they can, you know, like, beam over a whole auditorium, a stadium, and they can see anybody with any weapon? Have they got some kind of magical, futuristic laser technology that making them so confident that Trump is okay? He said, computer did not say, something like that. He wouldn't admit it. He didn't want to expose it because we're being listened to. So, it implied that there's probably technology for these guys that, with their little earbuds and that's way beyond what people have, because you can't, how could Trump walk around and do all that talking without assuming he's going to get shot, you know, when he was campaigning? Why couldn't anybody kill him? So they may have really good surveillance scanning technology.
How could they even entertain the idea of having this big inauguration without that kind of technology?
Especially he's so publicly hated. You know, why would they even bother? And even he's being careful, supposedly, anyways, even though he's got all this stuff. See, someone raised, the New York police or somebody raised a good point. Why doesn't Al-Qaeda just come and fucking drone the building? I mean, he's kind of vulnerable up there, you'd think. So they must have incredible technology protecting him.
Mm-hmm.
And you wouldn't announce what you have. Yeah, he has ion. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
So, let's see. That's a good pattern, Chad. Thank you for the contribution. Anybody get us? Anybody can top Chad with a pattern? What is with you people? You don't even say no. Why
don't
you just say no?
Hold on. There's also... there's also the argument with all this technology that I've heard people talk about, is saying that we do have all this technology and that because of it, all this terrorism and stuff shouldn't be going on. They say it should actually be much easier to just have it all under control with the technology.
Well, that's the proof. That's the proof that the conspiracy uses the terrorism to keep arms trades going and all the black market. That's why it is controlled. But they must have it to create contrast. We're so godlike now, we have to create our own mediaology. We have to create our bliss. We have to create our contrast. There's no God there helping us anymore. So that's the top secret level of mediaology. Ion talks about that with certain medical protective places. They're up to no good there. So another pattern, Chad, it occurred to me after hearing you talk about how bad Vancouver is and the Chinese taking over the province, British Columbia. It suddenly made sense why you were told in March 31st, 2009, your first session, that Canada will be invaded. That would be a reason. If there's these tensions between Canada, the United States and China, and here's China, we've got a big North Korea sitting there called British Columbia, that would justify an invasion, right?
Yeah, that certainly would.
Had you thought of that?
I thought of it recently, yeah. I think I might have talked to Kevin and MJ about it on one of our calls. But
there's something I wanted to ask you. Where are those? You didn't announce where the recordings are.
No, I emailed you and told you go click here to listen to it.
Ah, I missed that. So you guys have done a few?
Two, but only one is up for download.
Okay.
The other one's
so
still being edited.
Do you want that posted on my Facebook page where millions...
No, not yet. Don't tell anybody yet. Don't tell anybody yet.
All right.
Okay.
So you mentioned this pattern.
Just between me and you.
Right. So you mentioned this pattern that that'd be a reason to invade Canada.
Yeah, that's a very good reason because America, especially with Trump, the way that he's sort of jabbing at China, and he's calling into question the one China policy by talking to Taiwan, and China's been creeping into the South Pacific, taking over more space, and the Obama administration does a shitty job controlling that. So he's going to want to scale that back, Trump. And when it comes to light that China, just like that show we watched, the Romeo section, about the string of pearls, I Googled that. There actually is a string of pearls. It's real. Those ports around the Asia-Pacific Rim are part of a string of pearls policy that China has been working on for decades. So now the port that's in Vancouver and the other ports of coastal British Columbia, those belong to China. China's never going to give those ports up without a fight.
Right. Now, I was thinking about that show the other day that, remember they laid out the plan? Was it a plan of colonization or just having ports for their drug dealing?
Ports for drug dealing because it's war. Like, they want to poison the population and put...
But they didn't, it didn't go so far. You know, he's a professor, the main guy in the show, and he was teaching his students this and that. He didn't go so far as to say they will colonize these places, like we're saying for Vancouver.
No, he didn't say colonize.
But it's pretty pretty up-to-date show in light of what's
happening. Yeah, but North America, like, there's a huge heroin problem now. Heroin has come back in a major, major way. Even small Midwestern towns have heroin epidemics. Where's that heroin coming from?
Yeah. Yeah, it's the Dick Dog.
They want their
evil
revenge.
Brother.
Yeah, they want
Dick
their
Dog,
revenge
my
for the
evil brother. He's a fucking asshole. He's been. I would blame him.
Yeah, Big Bob.
You don't
Big
know
Bob
about
Dobbs.
Dick Dobbs. No, Dick Dobbs. Dick, my evil brother. He's hardly mentioned. There's a few mentions in the Book of the Subgenius, but he's a fucking.
Okay.
I don't talk about him much. He's too vicious. Bad, you know, typical. Very pissed off with the wonderful life I've had. He just hates humanity because humanity knows about me and not him. So you got a mad on that guy.
A mad on.
Yeah. Okay, now somebody has come in. Oh, look at this. It's either Nate or Alyssa. I wonder what they have. They must have a pattern. They're creative people down there in Cleveland or someplace, some spot in Western town, which doesn't even inspire you to be an artist. Who is it, Nate or Alyssa? Or both?
It's Nate.
Yes, Nate. How's it? Can you survive that Minnesota hellhole? You know, is it okay for you?
Oh, yeah, it's fine. Been surviving my whole life.
Yeah, but no, you got our products. You're surviving. It's easy for you to survive now.
Yeah, I died right when I took the first drop, and it's been great since.
Yeah. So you've got something to add?
You know what? I just called right in. I have no idea what you guys have been talking about.
That's what you say every fucking... Have you noticed that shit? He says that every fucking time. I just called it, is this the right show? Is this Howard Stern show? You know, like you're always pleading that you don't know what's being talked about. That ain't work. We don't care whether you know. You must contribute anyway. Just start talking.
All right. So how's your coding going, Chad?
Oh, I don't know. You have to ask Ion. I don't pay attention.
Yeah, Ion's doing it through Chad, like me.
I've learned long ago from Bob. Don't get too involved in things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let reality do it for you. Let the fingers do the walking and talking. You guys remember that? Was that in American culture? It used to be in Canada.
Yeah. Let your fingers do the walking. Yellow pages.
Yeah. That's prophetic, that statement.
Let the fingers do the walking through the yellow pages.
What? You had it in your backward hole of South Africa?
Yes, Bob.
Wow. Yeah, just think, every one of you guys are calling from some hellhole. this is an outrage program here.
A hellhole?
Really, I'm just being honest.
Thanks, Bob.
Yeah, I mean, well, that's why you're talking to me, to get some of that utopia rub off to you. You know, rub off on
Absolutely.
You.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Now, an anonymous came in. Any anonymous is welcome to introduce themselves. Come on, anonymous. Maybe you don't know you're anonymous. Your number's not showing. What's with Ginny? I mean, Greg and Ginny are there. Why aren't they saying anything? Yeah, you have lots to say on Carolyn's show. Hey, why don't you do an introduction of me? Get Ginny to introduce me like she does Carolyn.
Yeah,
come
Ginny,
on, Ginny.
Come
let's
on. Bob.
Yeah, come on,
she's upstairs for a moment. She's upstairs for a moment, but I'll get her on that. Yep.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, she's very good at it. I want to hear what she says about me, because you guys have heard her, right, Michael? She's does this incredible stuff at the beginning
she
of the show.
The best intro.
Yeah. That's true. It's better
awesome.
Than Sullivan.
Every single week.
Yeah, every week she makes it different.
Bob, honey, she's here. Bob wants an introduction to Carolyn, like Monday Night Radio call-in show introduction.
Yeah, like on that level of awe, shock and awe for me.
Now you want what, Bob?
Okay, you know how you introduce Carolyn for every week and with amazing metaphors and praise, and it's very good the way you do it. It's usually different every week. Could you start doing that for me on this show? Let's hear you do me like you're doing.
Oh,
Carolyn.
Do it for you on this show on Tuesday nights,
right,
like
now.
On a regular, like on demand performance.
Yeah, right.
Okay,
now.
Well,
like right now.
What are they tuned
in.
Into?
Huh? Okay,
what have
hold
they
on.
Tuned into? Yeah.
I'm going to tell you in just a second. Hold on, I have to get myself prepared because. I have.
You're just going to get the script. You're just going to take one of those old scripts with Carolyn. And do you write those out?
No. I can't introduce you guys the same way. Although I did say that you did have the voice of a multiverse the other night, and I did like that. Yeah.
Yeah, that was good. That was good.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought that was really pretty good. Okay, let's see.
So I'll get you going. You go, welcome, welcome, welcome. We're back here with a person.
Let's see. We have to say, what would I say? Well, let me ask you this. What do we know what Carol is saying? Oh, there we go.
I hate that. Get rid of that. That's horrible.
Okay. Let's see. Yeah. Yeah, you'd have to have some. Bill, you'd have to have Frank Zappa definitely coming in.
Was
there.
Was that Bill? Did Bill do that? Did Bill continue
to do it?
Yeah, I
didn't
do it.
Holy
cow,
Bill.
That's amazing. Bill's on the ball.
Yeah, that's Bill. Bill is on the ball.
He has a lousy repertoire. He has a lousy
repertoire. No, no, no. He's got it going on. He's got all kinds of good stuff going. Okay, let's see. Well, gosh, Bob, you put me on the spot.
You just go, welcome. You just start describing what you actually feel about me. It's not going to be hard. You go, welcome.
Oh,
welcome.
Okay, that's true. That's what I do. Yeah. Welcome, welcome, everybody, tonight to, I was going to say payday, you're in charge, to
no,
what youth. And this is What the Fuck
guy.
Youth, right?
Yeah, What the Fuck Youth. Yeah,
okay, why don't you tell me what to say, and then I'll say
no,
it.
No, no, no. Yeah, well.
Welcome, welcome, everybody, to What Youth with our amazing host, Bob. Is it Bob Dobbs? Is it Bob Neverett?
Yeah.
One could
never really know.
The voice of the multiverse shows up every single week, resounding and resonating in the most amazing ways with all the different representations of his five-body chart. And all the different things that he knows. How many hours have you logged with Ion? Bob, I should really probably write this down.
Yeah, 16,400.
16,400 hours with Ion, having been completely and totally aberrated in every single cell of his brain and every enzyme of his body, Bob. That's pretty incredible.
Someone told me the other day, I had me tell them about Ion, and they're not really interested in it. Don't know much about it. And they said, geez, Bob, all you do is talk about Ion. I mean, you just go on. Why don't you get a life, Bob? Get out and do some living. They told me, get a life.
I'm more alive than you'll ever be. Oh, my gosh.
Right. I said, look, buddy, this is my job. It's what I do. It's the best thing, and I'm out there with everybody all the time, electronically. And
but you know what, Bob? I do think you have
amazing.
A good point, which is I was just looking at this because, you know, a lot of times when I'm doing Carolyn's thing, what I do is I always go to her, drdean.com, and I use her, bio on that page as kind of a grounding point so I can, you know. And
you rip off it.
Yeah, and I kind of riffed off that. But what I was thinking is, so I went to your page, Bob Neverett and Associates, Payday, I'm in Charge. Now, you know I wrote this for you back in 2000, I think in 12, right?
Yes.
But I'm reading it now, and it really has to be updated. I mean, because we're here, it says late 2007, Bob Dobbs took on the radio moniker Bob Neverett and joined James Martinez on Achieve Radio, counterculture classic, Cash Flow, and then joined by his wife Carolyn Dean.